This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. It's still the off season. It's still no hockey, but we're getting closer, supposedly. We're getting closer. You know what else is getting closer? Ovechkin's hair to his head. But anyway, of course, joining me on Skype is Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Welcome to What the Puck. We got a lot to talk about, but of course, we are going to start off by talking about Ovi's new haircut. What the hell?
He looks like someone you don't want around small children. He looks like someone that you would find on How to Catch a Predator. It's just, you know what? Maybe it was a bad angle with the camera. I'd like to see him in a different angle, but maybe the whole idea is to go into the negotiations and for him to look more intense.
And scare
people. Scarier. And to get the owners to look more like they have to do what he's saying or what they want. Because right now, he just looks really creepy.
I thought he might have been one of the henchmen from Die Hard when I first saw it. It scared the crap out of me. This was the guy who a couple years ago, he was known for his crazy hairdo and his huge beard. Now he's clean shaven. He's got a buzz cut. I know you won't get this reference because you're one of the few people that don't watch it, but he looks like Jesse from Breaking Bad. He looks like a meth dealer at this point.
Maybe he's a fan of the show and he wants to show... he wants to look like... No, the beard thing, I know why he got rid of it, and it's disappointing, but he's got that deal with Gillette, and you can't have your spokesman be a guy with a beard if you're a shaving company. It doesn't really work. I don't think people are going to take you seriously.
Yeah.
So that he looked more intense with the beard. I'm not going to say that necessarily changed how he played.
No, of course not.
He looked cool. But the hair thing, I mean, right now, it's new, it's different. He certainly looks a little more, like you said, a diehard villain. He looks a little creepy.
You know, he did say that the reason why he did it is because he is a soldier for the NHL Players Association. He's going there because he wants to play hockey, but he's pretty much like, hey, you know, if I have to go to Russia, I will. I don't want to, but I will play there. And he says he's a soldier for them. But here's my thing. First off, Ovi, you know I'm a Caps fan, and I got your jersey and everything, but dude, you are not a soldier. You are a guy who gets paid $9 million to play hockey. So just, pump the brakes, all right? But I do have to agree with what he's saying when he's talking about the owners, and they're saying, oh, they want to limit our salary, but they still want to offer us 10-year deals. Like, I get what he's saying, and I agree with him at that point, because that does sound kind of backwards coming from the owners.
It is a little funky to hear the owners saying, we're going to go out there and offer you, for example, not Ryan Suter, the other one. I'm blanking on it. Shea Weber, he got that big deal from Nashville, and then now they're saying, oh, by the way, we also want to take back some of that money we just gave you, and we also want to take back some of the years we just gave you. It's a little sketchy from the owners, or about the owners right now. I don't know if the owners are going to back off from that. The other thing is, I don't see what's going to change. Okay, so they go and they scale back the years and some contracts, and they scale back the money, but as they continually try to one-up one another to sign these high-priced players, are we going to be back to where we are 8 years from now? Are we going to be doing this all over again, talking about the next lockout potentially because we have to scale back the contracts again? I mean, if you looked at the proposal the owners had last time, I believe the last one that they gave to the players, they were talking about wanting the salary cap move back down to $58 million, the ceiling. And then the next, I think it was 4 or 5 years, would be back up to probably right about where it is now. So what are we solving at this point? What are we changing? You know, if it's going to be right back where we are in 5 years... are we doing this all over again? They need to find something that is worked, that can be stable for longer than 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you at that point. You know, this is crazy. They're one of the only leagues, really, in recent history. I mean, just look what happened last year with football and basketball. But they missed an entire season last time this went around. And I agree that they need to fix this, and I want hockey as soon as possible. But I don't want to have to worry about this every couple years as it pops up.
Yeah, this is something that they're going to keep talking about until they find a way to agree. And I don't think they're ever going to find a way to agree because you have owners that want more money. You have players who want more money. Until they're willing to compromise, I don't think that's going to happen. Even compromising a little bit to get a deal done is one thing, but compromising fully to be able to continually have a league that is making money. And when you make this kind of money, you're always going to want more. And that's the problem right now, is that the players want more money, the owners want more money, and they can't agree on who should get it. I mean, to some extent, yes, it is the owner's league. They're the ones that are paying for these buildings and paying these players' salaries. But then again, they're getting this money to pay these players because of the players. They need to understand that they need each other for this to work. It's not just about one or the other. The owners need the players because they need a product on the ice. No one comes to see the owners and sit in the in their suites and enjoy their, you know, chicken dinners or something while we all eat poorly made hot dogs and burnt popcorn. We go to see the players, but we need the owners to pay the players. So the fans need both. The players need the owners. The owners need the players. They have to find a way to agree on something, compromise. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting just like 8 years ago where we're going to be talking about the lockout and, you know, how this sucks that we don't have hockey and have the other leagues kind of laughing at them saying, why can't you guys get along?
Yeah, you know, it is really sad that it looks like it's heading that way. I mean, the most news that we've heard so far is that last week the talks broke down and that, you know, the sides wouldn't agree and that the NHL said, unless you're willing to take a salary cut, this isn't gonna work. You know, come to us when there is a pay cut in there. And I know the players don't want to take a pay cut. It sucks that that's what it's come to, but as of right now, there isn't really anything happening. No one's talking to the other side, and they're coming down to the deadline here. There are not many days left. September 15th is the deadline until there is going to officially be a lockout, and that deadline is creeping closer and closer, and when sides aren't talking, work isn't going to be done.
Now, as far as I can tell, that there's no scheduled meetings between now and next Saturday. They have to have something done by 11:59 p.m. Saturday, September 15th. If they don't have a deal, they go into a lockout where the owners will lock out the players. The players will not be allowed into the main arenas, and they won't be allowed into the practice arenas. So we can't even go over to Kettler and watch these guys practicing. Because right now, there are Capitals players that are at Kettler. I think Ribeiro was playing goalie the other day against Mike Green.
Yeah.
And a couple of the other guys were there. I saw some of the pictures. It was pretty funny to see him sort of throwing himself around on the ice. It wasn't really working, apparently. But as far as I know, that there's nothing going on from what I read on Twitter and TSN and ESPN and various websites. ESPN has very little bit. Oh, there's hockey. Remember that little sport played on ice? But I was reading a couple of things on Twitter, and I know Josh Reimer, who I believe works for NHL Home Ice, he's saying he had someone on his radio show that he feels like the NHL and the NHLPA will get a deal done prior to the 15th. So there are people out there who are optimistic. I think there could be a deal done. Could it happen? Yeah, technically it could happen. I put it about, I don't know, 20% chance right now, I'd say, that it could happen. I'm a little more optimistic after reading that and after reading, I can't remember who it was from, but someone recently was stating that they believe that the players are very confident that the deal that they're going to propose to the owners on September 13th, because there's nothing like doing it at the last minute. Why, you know, why waste time? Why, you know, go out, you know, go to amusement park, you know, have a few parties, a few barbecues, and then wait to the last minute and propose a new deal.
Yeah.
But the players think that their newest deal is, they're pretty confident that the owners are going to accept it, or that it'll be pretty close to something that's going to work out and that they'll be able to get a deal done. So we'll see. But the owners are unified behind Donald Fair, their representative, and the owners are unified behind Gary Bettman. So it'll be interesting to see who's willing to blink first between these two, because right now it looks like it's a staring contest.
Yeah, it definitely it seems that way. Hopefully, I mean, I'm glad there's optimism out there. I'm glad that people think this might actually happen. I would love to see it happen. Hopefully this is a deal that will work out. I don't want to miss any hockey. I mean, we're right now, as we're recording, it's the 5th. In 20 days is supposed to be the first preseason game up in Baltimore. And that's what I want to talk about on the next couple podcasts. I don't want to talk about the fact that, oh, this side's talking, this side isn't talking, this deal happened, this deal didn't happen. I don't want to talk about that. I just want them to get this done so we can move on. And hopefully this deal that may happen on the 13th will get signed and we can move on. But for right now, we're just kind of in limbo, and that sucks.
Yeah, that's sort of where we're at right now. We just have to wait and see what happens. I'm hoping for more information to come out later in the week or early next week. I think early next week you're certainly going to see things start to pick up, because I don't think either side really wants a lockout. I know the players don't, because they want to play. It doesn't appear that a lot of them – there are players that are making plans to go over to Europe, but I don't think a lot of them want to.
Right.
Maybe not as much as before, 8 years ago. And I think the owners want to have a league because it's more money coming their way.
Absolutely. So, there's always more money. That money drives business, and that's what people want to see.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if there's anything happens this week. But I think if nothing happens throughout this week, I think things are definitely going to start picking up starting early next week.
Yeah, one thing that did happen because of the lockout, and it's very interesting that it has happened this way, is that they released the Winter Classic logo this past week, and somebody, I believe it was on the Puck Daddy blog, they actually brought out the fact that there is no date on the Winter Classic logo, and it's the first time there hasn't been a year on the Winter Classic logo. So I'm very interested to see if that has something to do with the lockout, because maybe they are thinking 2014 is when it'll be Toronto versus Detroit in the Winter Classic. And maybe they are worried that something with the lockout is going to happen and make this not happen within the next year. So that's just something small. Might be a little clue into what the owners are thinking. Might not be. Might just be, you know, a logo and they'll add a year in later. But whatever.
No, I definitely caught that too. And I certainly think it's a little ominous.
Yeah. Is there anything else going on in Caps world? I know, I saw a little bit of news about the Russian who's scared to come to the U.S. and wants to stay in the KHL. We've got Kuznetsov who, he got his feelings hurt, because he wasn't invited to come to developmental camp. And apparently in the same interview, it was on RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, he said his feelings were hurt and that he couldn't believe they didn't ask him to come to play at developmental camp. But at the same time, he never called anyone and said, I'm not coming over to America for two more years. He just kind of was like, yeah, I'm not doing this, and the newspapers will let you know. So
before we go crazy and yelling it, no, I mean, it was certainly interesting that he didn't get brought over for development camp, and it's certainly interesting that he decided not to call the Caps. There's definitely a little bit of dysfunction going on here.
Yeah.
But he then came out. I remember I was reading the thing on Russian Machine Never Breaks, and then I went, and I believe it was also on their site, where after the article came out, he tweeted saying basically that he was upset because they didn't put the full article in there and that they twisted his words and that he won't be giving another interview to these, to whichever the online website or the newspaper was.
Right.
That Kuznetsov was upset with the way that he was represented in the newspapers. So I think right now I'm sort of waiting to see. I think a lot of things, especially with translations, they get sort of misconstrued. There's a lot of times where players will say what they really feel and then they'll realize how bad it makes them look, and then they'll be like, oh no, I totally didn't mean that. What are you talking about? So let's wait and see. The kid has a lot of talent. As long as he comes over here and he's happy being here and playing, I don't have a problem if his feelings were hurt because he didn't get to come to development camp. It certainly would have been fun to watch him, but I don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, you know, hopefully this is lost in translation, because kid kind of sounds like a pansy right now. And I don't want to see that in a Capitals player. He's like, oh, I got my feelings hurt, even though we had this huge deal for you. I mean, this guy, it was never said, but I think a lot of people thought this guy was going to replace Semin. And whether that's true or not, he kind of derailed the plans after Semin was leaving. But I understand he wants to stay and play for the Olympics and play for his country in the Olympics. But hopefully we'll see this kid in 2 years. And if he doesn't come to developmental camp next year, I'm sure he'll be fine. And those KHL checks will keep coming in.
I certainly don't blame him in regards to Semin. I think if their only plan was that Kuznetsov would replace Semin, that's on the Capitals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their mistake. They have to know that you have to always have a backup plan and a backup for the backup plan and a backup for that plan. You should always be ready for anything to happen. He certainly, I believe he could have come in and instantly replaced him, but now he's not going to, at least not right now. But they brought in a couple other guys, and if anything, I think this sort of their lineup, the way it could look, I think it spreads out the scoring a little bit, mm-hmm. which I think in the end could help them depending on what Oates' system looks like. There's certainly a lot of things we sort of have to look into to see how it's going to work out. The lineup certainly can be very flexible right now.
Right, and so with the upcoming season possibly coming, there are a lot of different combinations that we'll be able to talk about. But I know you wanted to kind of talk about what we may or may not see coming up if there is a season.
Well, I think tonight we can sort of go over the forwards in the lineup and in the organization and who we think is going to be on the team to see what we got. So I'll start with the first line. I think it's pretty obvious where the first two players on the first line are going to be, with Ovechkin and Backstrom. Ovechkin on the left, Backstrom in the middle. Last season, Ovechkin played 78 games and had his lowest point totals at, 65 points, which is the lowest he's ever had in the NHL. He also had his shots at the lowest he's ever had in the NHL, so it'll be interesting to see if he ends up taking more shots this upcoming season, with Oates probably being a little more offensive than Dale Hunter was. And then you'll have Backstrom in the middle for him. He played in 42 games, thanks to Rene Bork. What a douche. Yeah, Backstrom, even though he only played in 42 games, had 14 goals, 30 assists. That's pretty good. He only had 2 goals and 6 assists in the playoffs, which is still pretty good. But I would have liked to have seen a little more, at least goal scoring from him in the playoffs. But
yeah,
you know, we'll see what happens. And then my guess for the right wing spot, which I think is a question mark right now. I think with the way their roster is built right now, I think you're going to see Troy Brouwer at least on opening night on that first line right wing spot. With Mike Knuble gone, and odds are he's not coming back, even though he hasn't signed with anyone just yet. Brouwer last year played 82 games. He had 18 goals and 15 assists. 2 goals, 2 assists in the playoffs. I would have liked to have seen a few, little more points from him in the playoffs, but I don't believe he was getting as much top-line minutes or as many minutes as the other guys. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with Troy Brouwer in that first-line right-wing spot. The thing about Brouwer that kind of bugs me, and I don't know if it should bug me or not, he's the kind of guy you want crashing the net, right?
Right.
And you see him, and he'll get close to the net, and he tries to do like this little fake move, like he's Ovechkin or he's Backstrom. And you're like, dude, just crash the freaking net. That's your job. Don't try to be fancy. I mean, sometimes he pulled it off. He didn't score, but sometimes he pulled it off. But sometimes he'd try to make a little move, and the defenseman would just be like, yeah, whatever, buddy, get out of here. And he'd knock the puck away or knock Brouwer on his butt. You know, just shoot the puck, man. Shoot the puck, crash the net, knock in the rebound. You know, be Knuble. Be the younger Knuble.
Yeah,
that's my thoughts.
I think Brouwer was brought in last year to replace Knuble. I think even though everybody loves Knuble and everybody still loves Knuble, I think the writing was kind of on the wall when they brought in Brouwer. He was always there to take over for Knuble, an aging veteran. Ovechkin, I think he had a really low shot count this past year, I think, because he was getting a more of an emphasis on passing and trying to get other people open. I also think at the same time, besides getting shots off, he's got the same moves over and over and over again, which were great when he was a young gun, but people know the moves now, and he's getting caught up a lot. And hopefully with some of the events that's happened over the summer, him winning at Worlds with Russia, his girlfriend winning a bronze medal, I don't know, maybe he's going to be more aerodynamic with his new haircut. You know,
that's what I was thinking before. I was like, oh, I get it. He wants to be faster now. There's less wind resistance.
You know, hopefully some of that will help him and help him get motivated and get back to the OV we used to know. I don't think we'll ever see as much intensity as we have the first couple of years he was in DC, but Ovi is still one of the best players in the world. There's no doubting that. And I think we'll see that this season, if there is one. You know, that top line that you bring up, I think that you're right on the money. I think it is going to be Ovi, Backstrom, and Brouwer. And if anybody moves out, I don't think Ovi is really going to be moving that much. You might see like Johansson come up and center it for a game or two, and you might see Brooks Like too. I mean, Brooks Like is a very dynamic guy. I mean, you saw it last year when people were hurt and we were down a couple defensemen. He was on defense for one game. So the guy is definitely somebody who can be all over the place. He's a jack of all trades, really.
In regards to Brooks Like, I certainly agree. But I think right now they sort of like having him as a center. But we'll get to that in the later lines. But Like is definitely, if he would be the guy I would put there if Troy Brouwer can't do it. Either him or Wojtek Wolski.
Yeah, he's the new guy. He's practicing at Kettler too, so he's getting to know his some of his teammates that are there now, like Mike Green and Mike Ribeiro. So it'll be very interesting to see what these lines look like, and hopefully there's a training camp that we can these guys can play around with the lines and that we can see them.
Yeah, it'll be certainly interesting to see. But moving on to the second line, I guess right now I would have is Wojtek Wolski on the left, new guy Mike Ribeiro in center. With the Capitals finally have a true second line center, and Marcus Johansson moving over to the right wing. I think between the three of them, you may not have a guy who necessarily can crash the net, but you certainly have three guys that can score a goal with Ribeiro setting these guys up. I mean, last year in 74 games for Dallas, Ribeiro had 18 goals and 45 assists.
Wow.
Which is a lot of assists. It'll be fun to see him. He can set up Wolski and set up Johansson. Wolski last year didn't have very good time. He had 31 games for the Panthers and Rangers. I want to say he was injured for a little while. He had 4 goals and 8 assists. He played 2 games in the playoffs for Florida when they were playing against New Jersey, where he didn't score and he was a -1. So he certainly has something to prove, which is why I really like that they brought him in, because they brought him in on the cheap. His contract is only $600,000 throughout the season, which is a great cap hit. It'll be fun to see. I think he's a guy who has something to prove, so he's going to play his you-know-what off. I think it was a great move bringing him in if he can do it. You know, if he's going to be the guy that doesn't score in the playoffs and only gets 12 points in the regular season, then, you know, how good is he going to be? But if he's a guy who Ribeiro can constantly set up, it's going to be great. I was looking up clips of him on YouTube, and most of them are him in the shootouts.
Yeah.
I certainly hope that's not why they brought him in, but holy crap, this kid is the dude is good on the shootouts. It's ridiculous.
He's pretty fancy. If you haven't checked it out, go on YouTube and look up Mike Ribeiro doing the shootouts. I mean, he definitely gets creative. You know, we got our own crafty guy on the shootout, Matt Hendricks. I want to know who they're going to bump out of the normal shootout guys, the normal shooters, because Matt Hendricks is going to be there. Mike Ribeiro is definitely going to be there now. And I guess they'll put Ovechkin in, maybe Backstrom. You know, Ovi, I've never understood why they put him on the shootout. I don't know how
he used to be so good at it, though.
He used to be, but now, you look at him last year, he takes that wide turn, and then that's it. I mean, every time I've seen him live doing a shootout, he's never gotten the puck in. I know he does every once in a while, but I don't know how he has a winning record there.
Yeah, it's...
I'm really beating up on Ovi tonight, and I want everyone to know out there, I like Ovi, I have his jersey, I'm a Caps fan in every way, and I'm not trying to come down on the guy. I really like him. I want what's best for the team here, and I think Ovi's the best in the world, but I want to see Ovi back to the way Ovi was, really enjoying hockey.
In regards to the second line, they have two pretty big question marks in Wojciech Volski, and let's see if Marcus Johansson can come back after having... He had 14 goals and 32 assists in 80 games, but I just felt like last year he didn't have a good year, and I'm hoping it was just a sophomore slump. Because he's the kind of guy who could be great on the second line right wing spot. I know, at least I've been reading that they like him more as a winger now than as a center. Because I think as a center, it wasn't working out very well. If they could put him on the right wing and have Ribeiro just constantly passing to either Volski or Johansson, I think that could work out really well.
Yeah, having the two new guys on the second line, I think they're going to play around with that line a lot. Of all the lines that they're going to be dealing with, I think that one we're going to see the most creativity with. I think... Marcus Johansson kind of being the veteran of, I mean, he's young, but he's a veteran for this team. He's been with the Capitals longer than these two new guys. I think that might be a factor in there that he's going to get switched out with, again, maybe like Brooks Like or something like that. So that somebody like Brooks Like is going to be able to do that. I think Marcus Johansson's very fast. He's got great feet underneath him. And if he can come up on the wing and you know, Ribeiro can feed him pucks and he's, you know, real close to the net, he's crashing the net from the side, I think that would be a good combo. Let's just see how these two work together, though. That's really what's going to show is the kind of chemistry these two guys have.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see how this is going to work out, which is part of my disappointment with losing Alexander Semin, is that it would have been great to see how he did finally with a true second-line center. But I think if Ribeiro can get those 45 assists again between Johansson and Volski, I think it'll work out pretty well. Volski certainly has a lot of talent. It's all about him getting to that point where he's able to achieve that talent and be able to really use it. Same with Marcus Johansson. You know, he's going into his third year. He really needs to show something here this season. I think he's got a lot riding on this season, provided we have one, to see how he can do. So I think the second line, I think, is certainly going to be fun to watch. Like you said, it's going to be able to pass, I think, the most and potentially make other teams' defenses look ridiculous. I don't think teams are necessarily going to be able to lock in to just stopping the first line.
Right.
So I guess that's sort of move us on to the third line. The next one is more of a grinder line. I don't know if you're going to like this one so much. We'll see what you think. But right now on the left, I have Jason Chimera with 82 games last year, 20 points and 19 assists. I don't think we're ever going to see that again from this guy. He's a great player. I love having Jason Chimera on the team. I don't think he's ever going to get 20 goals and 19 assists. I don't think you're ever going to see something like that again. Not from him. He had a great season, a remarkable season. I don't think you're going to see it again, though, unfortunately. But if he can play, I don't know, let's say two-thirds of that, or even half of that next season while doing a good job shutting down the other team's top line, that's perfectly fine by me. And then to his right in the center, Brooks Like is my guess for the third line center spot. I think he did really good last year between Chimera and Like, especially in the playoffs, putting those guys together. Like had 16 goals and 25 assists in 82 games. I think he did a good job. With the money he's making, because his cap hit is $4.5 million, with the money he's making, I certainly would like to see more than just 2 goals and 5 assists in the playoffs. But if he's shutting down the other team's top line, I guess you can't really complain that much. And then your favorite player of all time, I'm sure you have his jersey, on the right wing spot I have right now, a guy who, if the cap ceiling goes down, he could certainly find his way out of town pretty quickly. But one of the guys that I think is going to end up on the right wing spot for that third line is Joel Ward.
Huh.
I know. He had 73 games. He only had 6 goals and 12 assists. He only had 1 goal, 1 really big goal, and 4 assists in the playoffs. So it's not great. For the money he's making, I want a lot more points from him. I want a lot more production on the score sheet from him. But if he and Like and Chimera can rekindle that sort of defensive magic they had last year in the playoffs, I'll take it. Not for the money he's making, but I'll take the production in terms of defensive checking and things like that from these three guys. But that's my guess with the way the roster is built right now, what you're going to see on the third line. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think that's an interesting combination. Joel Ward, I mean, he had a great postseason, but like you said, regular season, he really wasn't there. I think he might be he might be in the press box, you know, a lot of the time, I got to say. This is a new coach, though, and that's a strange combination. I think Chimera is a lock no matter what. I definitely see him as a lock on that line. He might move up if somebody gets injured or something like that, but I think that Chimera is pretty much going to own that third line. It's just who's going to be with him. That's going to change a lot. Maybe that's even going to change more than the second line.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. If you're going to put Joel Ward in the press box, that's a $3 million cap hit. That's
right.
You know, warm in the press box for you. So that's kind of a heavy hit. I think at that point they'd look to move him out one way or another, whether it's down to Hershey or in a trade, or if by some reason they get like an amnesty clause that the NBA sort of has where you can just cut a guy and it won't hurt your cap. You just pay him off to go away. I think that's certainly an option. But right now, I think with the way the roster is built, you know, I have him on the third line. But I want a lot more production from him. I agree with you. If he's not giving you the offensive production, I think he can be replaced by someone who's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It really is going to see how he plays this season, because, I mean, he came in and he was the guy in Nashville. He was the playoff guy. I mean, he was scoring goals like crazy, and he was doing everything that a good player should. And he came to D.C., and it seemed like he kind of got – I mean, I know he loves D.C. You can see it in his I Heart D.C. t-shirt that he wore in the offseason, but he's definitely got to play harder than he did last year during the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wasn't happy with his regular season. He started out really well and then just completely disappeared. It was certainly disappointing. But let's move on to the next line. Fourth line, I have on the left your buddy, Matt Hendricks. He had 4 goals and 5 assists, which I'll take for a cap hit of only $825,000. I'll certainly take that. He had 1 goal and 1 assist in the playoffs, but he's not really a goal scorer. He's more there to score in the shootout and to play defensive hockey, which is fine. And in the middle, center spot, Jay Beagle. He only played 41 games thanks to Aaron Asham knocking him out at the beginning of the season. He didn't start out real great in the beginning of the season, and then he came on really towards the end. And now he earned that new contract he got in the offseason, and I think he'll be a great guy to have fourth line, center spot. If they have to move Brooks Like up to the second or first line, you can certainly see Jay Beagle getting bumped up to the third line center spot. I like what we get out of him, especially as cheap as it comes. I definitely like Jay Beagle on this team. And then my guess for the fourth line right wing spot, which is sort of up for grabs right now, I'm going to guess they're going to go with Joey Crabb, who they got as a free agent from Toronto.
That's right.
He had 11 goals and 15 assists in 67 games last year for Toronto, but he's never played in the playoffs, so it certainly will be interesting to see how he does, you know, assuming the Capitals make the playoffs, assuming there's a season.
I totally agree with you there. Jay Beagle is a name that I definitely want to hear a lot this season. Dude, that should just be called like True Grit. That line should just be called True Grit, because we've got Beagle and you got Matt Hendricks, two guys that got so much grit on this team. Like, they're the heart of the team, these two guys. And
I like that.
Yeah, I love it, man. These two guys are great. But one name, I wasn't thinking about Joey Crabb. I'm glad you brought him up, because he is a new acquisition here. But you didn't say Matthew Perreault. We haven't talked about him at all. So I think you might see him every once in a while too. Maybe switching out with Joey Crabb every other game or so. But it's going to be all about training camp. That's how Matty P made this team last year, because he wasn't a shoo-in. He had to fight for it. So we'll see what he's going to do, kind of with this new guy there.
In regards to Matty P, I don't have anything against him. I think he's sort of on the outside looking in right now in regards to being in the lineup. I think he's going to be on the roster. He just may find more nights in the press box. I think you don't have. I wouldn't have him on the fourth line because he's not a big guy. He's not a great checking guy, because he can get knocked around real easy by these bigger guys. I think you could have him certainly as a fill-in if Volsky or Johansson aren't working out or they need a night off or whatever. you can maybe see him filling on, if they're desperate, if there's a couple of injuries, put him on a first line right wing spot and see what he can do. He certainly had a good year, and he got a 2-year deal at $1.05 million. With his cap, he had 16 goals and 14 assists last year. That's certainly not bad, but he only got 4 games in the playoffs with no points. I personally see him fighting with ice time for Johansson, Volskin. We'll see where he goes. I don't think you can put him on the third or fourth line because I think he can get bumped around too easily.
Yeah, you know, maybe if he is on a line with like Matt Hendricks can look out for him and he'll kind of balance that out a little bit. But yeah, you do have a good point. Matty P is probably going to move up there to like one of the quicker lines than Jay Beagle and Matt Hendricks.
I mean, Matty P's a goal scorer. He's a point producer. He's going to do that. He's going to set guys up. He always finds a way to score a goal no matter what. But I just don't think he's good enough defensively right now that you can have him on a third or fourth line with the way that their lineup is right now. I don't think you can see him filling in for Joey Crabb unless they have to. It certainly would be interesting to see him with Hendricks and Beagle and Perl. It would make them a little more offensive, but I'd question how big a hit they would take defensively on that line.
Right.
So it'd be an interesting combination to see. But there's a couple other guys they potentially have floating around. But I certainly think Matty P is going to be on the roster one way or another. I know they signed him to then use him as trade bait necessarily, but that's a possibility, I guess. But I think he'll be on the roster one way or another. I just don't think you'll see him getting a jersey as often as these other guys, unless he has a ridiculous camp and someone looks terrible.
Yeah, maybe some of these guys, you know, that were during the offseason, they thought there was going to be a lockout. So maybe they're not working as hard as they could.
They're partying up a little too much.
Yeah. gone up to Tim Hortons up in Canada too many times.
And Simon. No, yeah, getting the coffee and liquor. Now, there's a couple other guys that potentially could be on the roster. There's another guy from last year, Matthias Sjögren, he was a guy who played 19 games in Hershey last year before he went back to Sweden. 2 goals and 3 assists. He played 28 games in Sweden where he scored 3 goals and 6 assists. He's also like great point production, but I believe the Swedish leagues are a little more defensive-minded. I don't see him as a guy who will be getting a jersey most nights, and I think he wants to play. I think he potentially has a talent to play. I just don't know if he has a desire to sit around and wait and be a healthy scratch more often than not. We already know he doesn't want to sit in Hershey.
Yeah.
So that's fine, whatever. But if he's not willing to sit and be a healthy scratch and a fill-in for other guys on nights, then he's probably going to end up back in Sweden this year. But he could be a guy you see as a healthy scratch on most nights and maybe a fill-in on a second, third, or fourth line if they need him to be.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the guys we'll be looking at is another guy they signed, Ryan Stoa, who last year played with the Colorado Avalanche's AHL affiliate, the Lake Erie Monsters. He had 16 goals and 20 assists. I could see him as a guy who could fill in on the fourth line if Joey Crabb has a bad camp or he's injured or something. You know, I could see Stoa maybe filling in for him or even getting his roster spot potentially. But I think he'll end up in Hershey, to be honest, to start the season. And the two other guys I was looking at were Zach Hamill, the guy they got in the trade for Chris Bourque.
Okay.
He played 16 games with the Boston Bruins last year, no goals and 2 assists. And in 41 games for the Bruins AHL affiliate, the Providence Bruins, he scored 8 goals and 13 assists. He's a former first-round pick, so I like the trade Bourque for Hamill. I think Bourque wanted to go back to Boston where his dad played, where he went to college. And I think Hamill, it could be one of those situations where he just needed a change of scenery, a new organization. I think Hamill is going to start in Hershey, but if he takes off and does really well at the beginning, you could see him get a call-up at some point. And then the last guy I'm looking at, which he's going to have an incredible camp to actually get on this roster, is Stan Galiev, however you say his name.
Close enough.
Teach me how to say his name. Stan, it used to be Stanislav, I thought that sounded cooler, but whatever. Stan Galiev. He had 20 games last season for the St. John Sea Dogs of the Quebec Major Juniors Hockey League, where he scored 13 goals and 6 assists. And then I was looking at it more. In 17 playoff games, he scored 16 goals and 18 assists, which I thought was ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's definitely the kind of guy who could come in, maybe not this season, but I definitely see him as a first-line winger in Hershey. But you could see him come up and get a couple of cups of coffee, as they say in the NHL, and fill in on the second line and score some goals. I think this kid is the future second line between him and Forsberg and Kuznetsov. I certainly think the Capitals have 3 goal-scoring, point-producing prospects to keep your eye on, with Galiev being the closest to the NHL of the 3 right now, with Forsberg having another season in Sweden and Kuznetsov hiding in Russia for the next 2 years. So that's where I'm at right now with my lineups. I don't know how you feel.
No, I think you really hit the nail on the head. I don't think there's going to be an abundant amount of change coming to the lineups. I think that we do have these new guys, and we're going to see where they fit in, because GM wouldn't have picked up these guys unless he had some plans for them. So I don't see hopefully I don't see a lot of these guys like sitting on the bench or anything like that. The guys that you did mention, I definitely think that if his name is Galev, whatever, I can see him going to Hershey if that is an option for him. I know he's had a really good developmental camp. He's been in the developmental system for a couple years now, so I think he's kind of getting to that age where Hershey is coming more and more like an option for him. So that'll be interesting. And the guy from Sweden, Matthias Sjögren. All right, I think. He's a talent. I mean, he had a great developmental camp, and he was in training camp as well, and he played for Hershey, but he kind of got angry and left, and I think GM was a little ticked off about that. So if he can put business first, then I think this guy would be a good pickup. Maybe if Hershey is an option for him, then he can kind of go there to learn the American system a little bit. Otherwise, I think he's just going to hang out and go back to his homeland and play there.
Yeah, McPhee certainly wasn't pleased when he ran off back to Sweden earlier in last season. And as a fan of the team, I wasn't real pleased. I was, you know, hey man, show how you can play in Hershey, and maybe you'll get a call up. And he didn't like it. He ran back home, and it'll be interesting to see if he has a good camp, what they decide to do with him. I could see him as a guy. I could see really right now with Hershey being as close as it is. I mean, it's 2 hours by driving. Even I don't even know 20 minutes by flight or something like that. You know. I don't think they have the need to really hold, two guys, three guys as healthy scratches every night.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised at all to see someone like Matty P and Matthias Sjögren as the healthy scratches most nights, with Hamill and Galev and Stoa playing in Hershey and then getting a call up earlier in the day if they need to come down.
All right. Gotcha, man. So is there anything else going on in the NHL world, or is that pretty much it? Is our most news channels locked out already?
I mean, there's a couple of things going down. Roberto Luongo came out and said that he wants to go back to the Florida Panthers, which normally would make me scared, but he kind of sucks now, so I don't really care.
Whoever wants to go to the Florida Panthers?
Well, he lives down there during the off season, so I'm sure he wants to be closer to home. But he was great when he was there, and he went to Vancouver, and he was great for a little while, and then he just lost all of his talent. There's been rumors for so long that he's going to get traded for Jose Theodore, and I'm sure there's going to be other players or picks or money exchanged, but I think it's going to happen. I think once the CBA thing gets fixed, whenever the hell that happens, that everything's going to – I think you'll see things start to pick up. But then there's a couple of guys who got signed recently. The Senators re-signed Kyle Turris to a 5-year, $17.5 million deal. It's a cap hit of $3.5 million. And the Oilers agreed to terms with Jordan Eberle on a 6-year, $36 million deal. That's a cap hit of $6 million. So that's the Oilers are locking up all their guys long term. That's pretty good for them. They got a lot of young talent up there. The Oilers are going to be a team to watch out for in the next couple of years. I think they really are going to start to turn the corner and really do really well soon. Winnipeg Jets defenseman Zach Bogosian will miss 4 to 6 months after undergoing wrist surgery.
Ooh.
That's going to hurt. He hasn't been playing real great as of late, but I think at least last season. But I think that's going to hurt them in the long run. Canadiens Rene Bork, the douche. He, after cheap-shotting Nicholas Backstrom, I completely forgot about that until I read that he's going to be out for 3 to 4 months after surgery to repair an abdominal injury.
Good.
Spineless little. Anyways, when I read about that, I was like, oh, he's the guy who knocked out Backstrom. And I went back and watched it again, and not only do I think I was at that game, but I just remember how mad I was. It was just a blatant cheap shot. Like, it wasn't like up, his arm just kind of came up as he hit him. He threw the elbow out well before he hit him and clocked Backstrom enough that he got knocked out for 40 games with concussion symptoms.
And so, he got, like, what, 3 or 4 games of suspension? I think he should have been out for, like...
Yeah, it was, like, nothing.
Yeah, he should have been out way longer than that.
I mean, it was ridiculous. It was... I wish I hadn't gone to look back at it, because it just made me mad again. No, and then... which I thought was interesting news, only because it takes a little bit, I guess you could say, not a swipe so much, but it knocked Crosby back a little peg, but that the Avalanche named Gabriel Landeskog their new captain, making him the youngest captain in NHL history, actually younger than when Crosby was named captain back in 2007. So congrats to him. He came out and said that he had no idea until they talked to him about it, I guess, earlier this week. So congrats to him. But other than that, there's not really much going on. Just hoping and praying that next Saturday night I don't get home at some point and go, oh, they're locked out. Oh, darn. No, I'm hoping.
I think we're all hoping and praying that this is actually going to be a hockey season. I mean, I am okay. I'm not okay. I want a full-length hockey season. I want training camp. I want preseason games. I want regular games. I want special classic games that are outside. I want everything that comes with an NHL season. And I don't care if I sound like a spoiled brat. I want what I want when I want it. Get it done. Get it done. Finish it. Be done with it by the 15th. Have a full season and just figure it out. Just figure it out.
I think we're going to know where they stand when the players come back with their new deal or their new proposal. I guess if it's going to be on the 13th, potentially. I think that's going to really show us where we stand. And after that point, if the owners come out and say, I think we have something here, then we can start to feel better. If they came out and say we're nowhere near, then I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah. It just sucks.
It's not great. But you know what? We should still keep acting like we're going to have a season, keep having our predictions and lineup changes and whatever else, and hope for the best.
Yeah, we could definitely do that, and what the puck will get more into a normal scheduled basis instead of just like these one-off shows every once in a while during the offseason like we've been doing. Because I don't really want to cover the Hershey Bears this closely, and I don't want to cover, you know, the KHL that closely. I want to talk about the team I want to talk about, and that's the Caps. So let's hope this all works out. Coach Dan, thank you so much for talking to me again. And, of course, if you want to call, well, you can't call him, but if you want to tweet him and like him, where can people do that?
If you find me on Twitter, you can find me at WTPCoachDan. And if you want to find the show's page on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/WTPPodcast.
Very
and
cool.
And Brandon,
oh, yeah.
If they want to find you or any of your great shows throughout your network, where can they find you?
Well, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. That's the simplest, easiest way to find me. And if you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Make sure you like the page there, and you'll figure out all the news about this show and all the other shows that are on the at Brando Cash network. We've got plenty of stuff cooking up for you, so make sure you stay connected that way. And hopefully we'll have a lot to talk about on What the Puck in the next coming weeks and not just be talking business. So we're gonna keep hoping and praying you do the same thing. I think that we should have that hashtag that you really like, Don't Stop Believing. I think we need to bring that
back. Oh, it's coming back.
I think we need to bring that back now. All right, Coach Dan, thanks so much for talking to me tonight, and we'll talk together hopefully all about hockey and no business very, very soon.
All right, man, I'll talk to you later.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.